The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
Well, breaking into buildings, dodging security, conducting online scams, these criminal activities are all in a day's work for my next guest, who counts high net worth footballers and celebrities among her clients. Although she sounds like your quintessential bad guy, Jenny Radcliffe, the people hacker, is paid by companies to test the weak points in their security systems. Jenny, I presume human psychology is one of the key parts of your toolkit. How do you do it?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to understand the way, what makes people tick, and that's individually as well as a species, really. So, you know, we all have certain things that we respond to in automatic ways, and it's understanding really what those triggers are. So, for example, we might look at something like curiosity. People are naturally curious. So if we want someone to plug a USB, you know, a little thumb drive, if we want someone to plug those into computers and then open up a gate so that we get into the system that way, we do things like write confidential on them. You know, if you write confidential on something, people will open it straight away. If you write HR or bonuses, they'll drop everything and plug it in. So it's really understanding those kind of mental triggers that we all have and learning to exploit them.
So how did you get into this business?
I'm from Liverpool. It was kind of like a family business. So half my family, very senior security and law enforcement, and the other half weren't so much.
Were the half that weren't so much actually breaking into buildings, or what do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean is that I guess there was not a lot to do in Liverpool back in the day, and it was just something to do, you know. It was started off with like an empty house on the block, and all the kids are getting, and then we'd try and get in at night. And then gradually, as time went on, we were looking at other targets. You know, can we get into the museum and stay overnight without being detected? And what happened was we were doing that without taking anything or breaking anything. It was just curiosity, really. But once people found out we could do it, we started to be hired to do it. And the people who hired us back in the day, the only people in Liverpool with any money back in the day were the footballers. So we used to protect their houses. You know, if we could break in, then so could someone else. So that's what we used to do. We used to go and tell them, you know, the alarm doesn't work here, or we can get past this way. And then that gradually progressed to businesses, you know, well-known landmarks, tourist attractions, theme parks, even down to things like sports stadia, government offices.
With these big office blocks and buildings like that, I often wonder, you know, driving past a lot of these places, when you see people outside smoking, Is that, do you see that as an opportunity, as a way in?
So basically every organisation, the people who work there are already hackers, right? Because we all get around the rules and the things that we want to do quickly. So, you know, people don't always smoke in the right places. They don't always take the right exits. They don't always use their passes. So we observe that and we look and see, you know, what ways are the actual employees kind of getting around the rules in the system. And a smoking shelter, there was one example where it was a great big building in Canary Wharf in London. And the front of the building's like a fortress. You know, you've got turnstiles, guards, cameras in the lifts. But at the back where everyone had a cigarette, there was a coffee franchise. They're all outside having their coffee break and their smoke break. And I just got talking to them a little bit and sort of created some rapport. And then when they went back in, I just went in through and they just held the door open and then I was inside the building.
I suppose when you look at the kind of clients that you work for, I'd imagine it isn't just about getting into an office block. Because if you got into an office block, unless there's loads of cash there, you know, what is a person going to steal? But they might steal information. There might be corporate espionage going on. There might be litigation between two companies and somebody might want to get inside to get information. Is that what they're guarding against?
Well, the thing is this, you know, people never think that they're important enough or rich enough to be hacked and to have information stolen. But, you know, we can find out so many things about an organisation. It's like we build up the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. And when we go in to these companies, it's finding out all sorts of things. You know, customer details, bank details, things that are on file on the computers that people don't close properly or leave their passwords written on post-it notes under the keyboard. It's everything from that, from keys to safes and secure areas, to being able to plug cables that we call key loggers into the back of people's computer. If you can imagine a desktop computer has a ton of cables at the back, but we can plug in cables or leave something called a rubber ducky. And what that does is that gets us onto the network. And so we can see the keylogger will show the username and password. That might be very confidential information, financial services or legal. And there's all the possibilities there for, as you say, industrial espionage, for coercion, blackmail, for bribery. You know, everyone's got something that's worth having. Data, identity, information, company secrets, money, all available if you can access these days the computer systems and sometimes the physical spaces of organisations. So, you know, it's very easy these days to sort of gain access to everything that someone wants to keep private if we can just get inside. And so it's on the inside. You never know what you'll find. I mean, I've found some very strange things.
Like what?
Years. I found a gun in someone's desk. We've found any number of questionable material and photographs and evidence of affairs and, you know, and contraband and, you know, so many things. And also evidence of people on the inside working against their company. You know, sometimes that's the job, that's the objective, is they think there's someone on the inside possibly stealing information and selling it. And can we find out who that is? And can we have a look around? And can we gain access to the building so that we can find some evidence? And that's often what happens too.
If you're hired to get into a building to highlight the flaws in their security and you don't manage to get in, do you still get paid?
I mean, we've always got in. I mean, this is the problem. Most people think, well, you know, you must fail sometimes. But even the most secure sites, we don't fail. And unfortunately, you know, it's the extent to which we manage to access things really that they're interested in. But unfortunately, most businesses are wide open and we manage to get in even to the most secure places, often very simply.
What's the trick?
But we would
then
be paid overall. So,
yeah.
Sorry.
What's the trick then, Jenny, with people? I'm sure you apply lots of different tricks. In a sense, you're acting at times, you're acting out a role, you're creating a bit of chaos at times, and at other times you don't want to be noticed at all. But what sort of buttons do you push psychologically with people to allow them to let you in?
So there's all different things. I mean, it depends. So there's three types of approach. There's either the physical approach to actually physically gain access to the building. Also, sometimes we will be a social engineer, would be the person who would write the phishing emails or the scripts for scam calls. And we use lots of different things. So we use, as I say, automatic behaviour. Sometimes people are bored. Sometimes people are just, I call it that they're sort of asleep when they're awake. You know, everything's just, it's not their problem. They don't want to really stop someone in the corridor because, like, they should be there. You know, if you look like you should be there, then people think you are. But then in terms of sort of psychological levers, it's mostly emotions. So if we can get someone's emotional temperature raised, then their decision-making capacity goes down. And when our fear is raised like that, it's hard to make the right decision.
What about flattery? Do you flatter people sometimes? Make them feel good instead of making them feel a bit fearful?
Yeah, so we use, I call it greed, flattery, fear and timing are the four main things. And flattery is an interesting one. Very often, if we have to go for someone who's a CEO or very senior, they might have secretaries and things that we'd have to get past first to get to their email. They might be more cautious. But there was one example where we had a CEO who wasn't on social media, so it was difficult for us to profile him, which is kind of another angle to it. But it was hard to get hold of him. So what we did was we sent him an email that said, "You are a leader in your industry. We're really interested in doing a quick article, quick interview with you. Maybe if you could send through some photographs and stuff. And if you just click on the link to the online magazine, you know, then you can see the questions we want to ask you and see if you want to be featured on the cover of this magazine." And of course, it's flattery, isn't it? Who doesn't want to do that?
Did you have to jimmy up a whole fake magazine online and everything to make this convincing?
So that's not that difficult to do because we just take them to a landing page, to a website. It's very easy to do. But actually, no, we took them to a 404 page, so the site was down. But it didn't matter because as soon as he's clicked the link, that's it, the test's complete. We know that he fell for it. But actually, we took it further, exact same MO. Where we actually approached someone. So it was hard for us to get hold of him. He wasn't really online very much at all. But we did find out that he was the patron of a charity. So we bought some tickets to one of their events and made a donation. And then we interviewed again, same thing, let's interview for the magazine. Interviewed him at the event. And then we called them the next day and said, do you know what, this recording didn't work. Can we come into your office and do it? Because, you know, the sound quality and everything. And anyway, now we've met you, we want to do a bigger piece.
God, you're devious, Jenny. You're absolutely devious.
It's terrible, isn't it? But, you know, if I can think of it, so can someone else. I mean, it's better that it's me that thinks of it. But then we get into his office, we put a microphone on the desk, and he asked us if we wanted coffees and things. Lovely guy. And we said, yes, of course we did. And as he went out, got into his phone, I'd looked at his pin over his shoulder at the event that we'd met them at, got into his phone, sent a few texts, got us into his computer and sent an email, test complete. And by the time he got back with the biscuits and the coffee, we were gone and he was hacked. And that is not a technical hack. That's a human hack.
Do you know how he reacted to that?
Do you know what? He was lovely. So previously, he hadn't given a lot of money to his security team. There was no budget for security. But after that, he cleared a load of budget. And he actually took me out for dinner. And he said, you know, I still don't believe in social media, but you did get me. So he bought me one of the best dinners I've ever been bought in my life. I think he was admitting defeat at that point.
Do you ever think you could make a lot more money on the wrong side of the law, Jenny?
Do you know, the thought has occurred from time to time. But the thing is this, is I think when you...
Time to time, more than once.
From time to time, it's occurred, I can't lie. But no, the thing is this, is when you do this type of job, when you work in the security industry, we see the harm that it does. The impact of it is so big that I don't think I could never do that. And that's why I've ended up in this industry. You know, it never ends well for the bad guys.
Jenny Radcliffe, the people hacker, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.